thanks for tuning in to another episode of God-Sized Stories. I'm actually editing this from sunny Brazil, where I'm visiting my family. I have to say, I'm not sad for having escaped the rainy winter that we had back in Georgia. Today, I have the pleasure of sharing with you my interview with Misty Philip. Misty is known for her wonderful podcast called By His Grace. It's one of the top Christian podcasts in the country. But today, our conversation is centered on her life story, how she has overcome many trials, and the Bible study she wrote called The Struggle is Real, But So is God. I know you will enjoy my conversation with Misty Philip. Well, Misty, how are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful, Patricia. Thank you for having me here.
I'm very excited to talk to you, and it hasn't been that long. We caught up yesterday for quite a bit. So you were so helpful. Thank you so much for all your advice yesterday. It was like, I was so grateful for everything that you had to share, and, you know, all your wisdom, which is so important. You know, you got to share with people the things that you learn, you know?
That's right. And I love how we have such similar stories and passions and love for the Lord and His Word and for helping people in ministry. It's just so good.
Yes, I love it. I love it because the more I looked into your Bible study, the more I realized, oh my goodness, we could have, you know, like my book and your Bible study are twins. They're like cousins or something. They go together so well. So it's wonderful. I think it's because both of us, we can agree that we have gone through a lot of struggles, and we have been able to, as I say, it's soar above life circumstances with God's help, you know. Yeah. And once you are able to do that, you have this passion, right, to share it with the people that, you know, that sometimes they're struggling in life.
Absolutely. We all have struggles, and, you know, they look different in different seasons of our life and in our lives. But sometimes, you know, we go through prolonged seasons of difficulty. Mm-hmm. I have a friend right now who's currently just one thing after another, and I just keep reminding her, it's a season. God is with you. He loves you. You're going to get through this. And then when you're on the other side, you're going to have a testimony that you're going to be able to share to help someone who's going through similar things.
Absolutely. For anyone who's ever struggled and trusted God and pushed through with His help, pressed on, you realize that, you know, as the Bible says, that He dries every tear from your eyes. It's like he turns every struggle into ministry if you surrender to Him. That's one of the purposes also, is to shape you into who he wants you to be, shape you to be more like Christ. And then on the other side, to be able to hold somebody's hand and say, hey, sister, I've gone through that. Let me tell you what God has taught me, right?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And this is what God has done for me. And if He's done this for me, He can do it for you. So that's why we go through things. I love that you said to conform us into the image of Christ, because that sanctification process can be painful at times, but ultimately the fruit that it produces in our lives is so beautiful that we don't want to miss out on any of it. God doesn't waste any of it.
No, He doesn't. And I know that people who still don't know Misty, she was introduced to me by a friend that we both know, and he called her the queen of podcasts. And after connecting with her, and now I'm part of her podcast community, which we're going to talk a little bit about during this interview, I agree, she is the queen of podcasts. But one of the things that I love most about her in that regard is she is so giving. And she wants to share what the Lord has allowed in her life, so all the victories, all the struggles, and how God has helped her to overcome and also to flourish in such a beautiful way. All the favor that he has lavished upon her life, she just shares that with people freely. And I just love that about your heart, how giving you are. And you realize the gifts are from God. So you want to share, and I love that. But she is a podcaster of a really top rating podcast called By His Grace. Beautiful. I love your podcast. I forgot to mention to you that I have listened to several episodes, and I really love it. You're a great interviewer. And she is an author of this book that we're going to talk about. It's a Bible study that is really a must have in your library. And she is a speaker to events as well. And she is a name to be reckoned in the podcast and media industry. Because tell us a little bit about how By His Grace, how you started this podcast. Let's talk about that first.
Yeah. So first in my, I was homeschooling my kids, and God called me to speak and to share a difficult part of our journey. And that was kind of my first step. And from there, I felt Him calling me to write the Bible study. And so I knew that I would need a platform. That's a word that's familiar to all of us authors. You have to have people that want to buy your book, and you have to have people that know who you are so that they can want to buy your book. And so that's when I started the podcast. I started By His Grace because I knew the Lord had given me this book to share. And so I wanted to start building an audience around that. And one thing led to another. I launched the podcast in January of 2019. We launched the book in May of 2019. After you write a book, and you can attest to this, Patricia, everybody wants to know, what's the next thing that you're going to write? Yeah. And so I had begun working on my next book, and it really wasn't working. And I went to the Lord in prayer, and I said, Lord, if it's not this, then what is it? How do you want to use my gifts and my calling in this season? And I felt Him say podcast conference. So I went from just being, you know, writing and speaking to, and then starting a podcast, but not even knowing all the things about podcasting, to starting an event. And the timing of it was so perfect. God's timing is always so perfect. And that's why it's important for us to be obedient when He calls us to do something. So He told me to do the conference, and we ended up hosting the first event 3 weeks before the entire world was shut down with COVID. And we had Christian podcasters from all over the country, and actually people came from around the world, and people came to learn how to podcast. They came together to just share the love of podcasting. And from there, God just shined on it in His favor and His blessings, for sure. And it grew into a huge ministry.
Yes. And it is an all-encompassing ministry, because she, now they have a magazine, they have Spark Media, the collective where podcasters can become members. And I'm going to put all this information on our show notes. But, you know, if you're starting a podcast or have a desire in your heart that God placed there to start a podcast, and you have no idea on how to start, like I didn't, you know, and I started mine. If you have, it's all about community, and ministry is all about community, I think more than any other thing in the world, because we're not competing, right? We're all working for the King. So if we can help each other, we certainly want to. And Misty does a great job, her and her team, to be able to do that. So definitely, and definitely have learned from the little time that I've known you a lot. And I know that I'll learn a lot more about you. But I want you to, since, you know, I know a little bit about your story, but many people do not know. You are not just the founder of Spark Media and a writer and speaker, but you have gone through some very hard times. And overcoming is a word that's throughout your book and is throughout your life story. Can you unpack to us a little bit about your struggles and how God has helped you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my story started really early. My parents had kind of a tenuous relationship, and I could feel the stress of that. At 5 years old, I've never even shared this before, but at 5 years old, I had an ulcer because I was internalizing what was happening in our home. And that would be compounded when my brother died. I was 12, and it just wreaked havoc on our family. And that led me to just a path of rebellion and sin, and just kind of going my own way. And then God got a hold of me when I was in college and radically transformed my life. But my problems didn't go away just because I was a believer. Actually, my life got even more complicated with the miscarriages and a stillbirth and an ectopic pregnancy that nearly killed me, a son who was born with severe challenges, and just years of being in and out of the hospital with him, and just one thing after another. During that time, I started homeschooling my kids, and my in-laws lived next door to me, and they both got brain tumors within 6 months of each other. And so here I was trying to take care of my in-laws and take care of my kids and homeschool. And I had a special needs child. It's just like, I could say, and, but God, because that's where he really met me. And as I began to really dive deep into his word and get a passion for his word, it's what sustained me through those difficult days. And it, you know, that's where he was conforming me to his image as well.
That is so, I can so relate, Missy. You know, I tell that my 40s, it was a decade of turmoil, you know, just so also a lot of health crisis, including cancer, financial struggles. We had my husband's brother, who was like a brother to me since my entire family is in Brazil, died in a tragic accident. It was just one thing after the other. And you don't realize when you're in the middle of it that God is really shaping you, right, into who he has called you to be. And it is hard to understand, but when you look back, and I think that people think we are crazy for saying that, you wouldn't take anything for it, would you, of all the struggles? Because you have gotten to know Christ in a way that I don't think in the mountaintop we can.
That's right. When we, when our son Liam was stillborn, it was one of the most difficult things that I ever had to go through. When we got his diagnosis of trisomy 18, the doctors wanted us to abort him. And I stood firm from the very moment and said, he's fearfully and wonderfully made, and God's given him a purpose and a plan. No matter how long he lives, we're going to carry this through. And so after doctor and doctor and doctor and doctor, and they still kept saying the same thing. And ultimately his heart stopped beating, and I had to birth him. And then we had a funeral for him. And some of my friends didn't understand why we had a funeral for him until they got to the funeral. And then when we were able to stand there and sing, "The Lord gives and takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord," for them to see me in complete peace, the peace that only God can give you, the peace that passes understanding, where I was ministering to other people at the funeral. And they're like, "I'm trying to minister to you, but you're ministering to me." And that's only possible when you know Jesus. And during that time, I had just started a practice of gratitude, where I knew that it was a difficult situation, but I looked for ways to practice gratitude every day. And when you do that, no matter how difficult your circumstances are, if you understand that everything that happens is sovereignly sifted through God's hands to you, then you can trust that it is good for you and that it is for his, ultimately, it's for his glory.
Yes, and wow, the story is so moving, because it was a time where most people would despair, and you were able to keep the kingdom, keep the fact that you can use that to point others to the peace that Christ, only Christ gives. You know, what a beautiful story. And, you know, the beauty of it is that we know that Liam is in heaven waiting for you. So, you know, that you have him there. So that's the hope that we have in Christ, and priceless hope that we have in Christ. I love that. Well, I know that I love the title of your Bible study, guys. This is so cool. It's called The Struggle is Real, but So is God. And if you know Misty a little bit, you know that she has a wonderful sense of humor, too. So I love it. I love it that you said the struggle is real. That's something that we say all the time. But so is God. And can you tell me a little bit about how you came out with this name, came up with this name?
Yeah. So when I wrote the study, and as we were trying to come up with the title, the phrase, everybody was using the phrase in sort of a flippant way, like just I'm having a bad hair day. The struggle is real. And I was like, how can we redeem that? Because the struggles in life are real and it isn't a joke, but so is God, and he's with us and he'll always be there for us. And so as we were kind of working through different titles, it just stuck. It just made a lot of sense because he's with us always. I mean, his word says that he's with us until the end of the age. And so no matter what comes our way, we can trust that struggles are going to happen. And Jesus even told us through telling his disciples, he said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Not you might have tribulation, but you will. Yep. But then he also said, take heart, because I have overcome the world. Mm-hmm. And if Jesus Christ has overcome the world, then we are more than conquerors. That's what his word tells us to. But we have to be in the word to know the word. And that's why I'm so passionate. And that's why I wrote it as a Bible study, because I want people to be in God's word, because it is our weapon that we can use against our enemy.
Absolutely. And, you know, I always say that because a lot of people come to you, especially when you minister, like to women, you know, have these women that come to you in a church or at events where you speak. And that's one of the first questions that I ask. Well, how is your devotional time? You know, when they're struggling with, like, just keep believing, keep trusting, keep waiting on God. Well, how is your devotional time? Because, and I know that you have proven this too, you cannot navigate the life's ups and downs in victory if you are plugged into television, podcasting, that whatever, crime podcasting. I love a crime podcast, but that's beside the point. But, you know, and you're never in the Word of God or spending time listening to him, right? And I love it that your entire Bible study points you to that. You use example after example in scripture of men and women who have overcome because of their faith in the Lord. So you talk about overcoming being this constant message in scripture. Can you unpack that concept for us?
Yeah, the way I laid it out was I started in the garden with sin, because that's what our problem is, and that's what causes all of our struggles. And for a long time, I lived my life not understanding that I had a weapon, and that was the word of God. So from there, I looked at Old Testament examples, because oftentimes people think that, you know, when you come to Jesus, that everything is going to be perfect, and it is not. And so I wanted to take these people that were a mess, but mm-hmm. to see how they overcame in Christ. So we looked at several different overcoming examples in the Old Testament. And then kind of the center of the Bible study is all about Jesus, because he's the ultimate overcomer and he's what it's all about. From there, I went to New Testament overcomers, because I wanted people to see in the different stories where they could identify with one of the characters in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, we end up in Revelation, excuse me, with all of the promises to overcomers, because mm-hmm. we have specific promises that the Lord has promised us.
Yes, exactly. I love that. Now, I know that you have touched the lives of some of the my favorite Bible characters. Is there one that you have talked about, like in the Old Testament, for instance, that you relate to the best?
You know, I can see myself in in so many of them, right? I mean, just, you know, Moses was afraid to speak, and look at how God used Moses to deliver the people, and Joseph, who had a dream, but then was in the pit. I mean, we've all been in the pit, but then we have mountaintop experiences too, where we are on the mountain. But I think probably the most, as I was doing the study, what really resonated with me the most was Daniel. And Daniel, because Daniel was resolved before he went to the king's table, he made a decision. He made up his mind. He was going to serve the one true God. And I think that is a character quality that we need more of today, especially as we see the world going absolutely bonkers. We need to be resolved that we will follow God, that we will stand for truth, that we will obey God, that we will be faithful. And so probably of all the people I talked about, I think it's going to be Daniel and his resolve.
Yes, I love all of them as well. And I agree with you. You know, we can all relate to them in certain aspect of their walk or some struggles. Love all those amazing characters. And you tap on their lives in such a great way to bring in a really practical way how you can overcome like they did in their struggles. And everybody can identify with one struggle or another that you touch on this Bible study. And you talk about gratitude as being something that will change the paradigm when you are struggling. Can you tell us a little bit of what you mean by that?
Yeah, I think that example that I gave earlier about when I was going through the process of losing my son, it just was so evident about just every day I would get up and I would say, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm still pregnant. I'm thankful that I have a little baby bump. Instead of getting upset that my clothes didn't fit or have an attitude, thank you that you have given me this child and that I get to steward his life. And so just having that gratitude every day makes all the difference in the world. You know, we were talking yesterday when we were talking, and trials can either make us bitter or they can make us better. And some people, when they go through difficult things, they get stuck questioning God, asking God, why did this happen? And they just become a victim instead of a victor. Mm-hmm. But if we have a heart of gratitude, it's going to take the focus off of us and our problems and put them on God and having a heart of gratitude to him for all of the many things that he's blessed us with. And so I think that practice is so important to just to help our relationship with the Lord and to take the focus off of us and our problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that you, when the struggles started, or the hard struggles of life started with you, that you were not automatically there where you'd say, you know, you said the struggle is real, but so is my God. Tell me, was there a moment in that walk that truth really sunk into your heart and mind, and you were able to say, you know what, I have overcome. I am an overcomer.
Yeah, you know, it actually was when my father-in-law was sick with brain cancer, and we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for his healing. And ultimately God took him home, which is difficult. We want God to answer our prayers, right? And heal him and let him be okay. But that drove me to the Word. And really during that time, I just would just every day at my kitchen table with my Bible, just underlining scripture and just pouring my heart and my tears and asking God why. But as I did that for my father-in-law and for that prayer, it helped me to be an overcomer. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then when I was losing my son, you know, there were times when I couldn't even do anything but just hold God's word, just lay it on me, just cry and weep and trust. It's difficult, but at the same time, he's with us and comforts us all the way through. Now, that wasn't always in my life. I didn't always, you know, but through time and maturity and God's grace and his mercy and his patience with me, he's such a loving father that he doesn't want us to perish and he doesn't want us to struggle. He wants us to come to him and cast all of our burdens and cares on him, because he cares for us.
Yes, absolutely. And we know that whenever we take that step of trust, that's when he strengthens you to be able to take another step and take another step. But again, you can only do that if you're holding his hand, right? If you're trying to do things on your own, you can't do that. And because we're much weaker than, you know, we're weak. I mean, the struggles are going to put us down. You know, we have to hold the strong man's hand, right?
That's
be
right.
able to overcome that. Well, this study is a 6-week study, and it says some of the things that will allow these women who will take the study to be able to be equipped with empowering wisdom, help them grow spiritually by claiming God's promise as their own. Teach them how to declare scripture over themselves to strengthen their inner being, and show them how to conquer challenges by activating God's word in your life. So every aspect that you talk about is all about God's word. So tell us, do you make it in a very practical way? Do you bring this this advice or those principles in a very practical way? And how is it that you present them in this book?
Yeah. Well, one of the things is the battlefield is in our minds, right? That's where the enemy loves to attack us. So we have to begin by taking control of our thoughts, the word says to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And so that's kind of the first step. And then we have to replace that lie that we're being told. We have to know what scripture says, first of all, so that we can recognize that it's a lie. Mm-hmm. And then we take that scripture and we turn it on that lie, and then we apply that over ourselves. And so some of the affirmations are like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that promise is not for somebody else. That's for me.
Yep.
I can do all things through Christ because he's the one that strengthens me, not because of anything that I do, but because of his goodness. So just taking those scriptures and really turning them into words of life that we speak over ourselves. But I think we have to, first of all, recognize when the lies come, and we can't entertain them. We can't let them toss around in our head, because that's when we become defeated. And the word is the thing that defeats the lies. And so we've got to know the word, but we also have to take our thoughts captive.
Absolutely. And you know, you mentioned something that reminds me of Ephesians 6, right? Which is, I don't think that on our day-to-day modern Christianity, we take those words in Ephesians 6 seriously enough, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, you know. And I mean, seriously, when you read it, you know, that's the introduction to the armor of God. And when you read throughout the armor of God, you just, the only offense weapon is the word of God. Everything else is protected: the helmet, the belt, the breastplate of righteousness, sandals, everything's to protect you from the darts of the enemy. But then he talks about, you know, holding up the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And I don't know if you agree with me, Misty, but so many believers, I mean, Jesus loving believers, that we know that he loves them, but they try to struggle against that person, against that situation, instead of realizing, and sometimes it is, I'm not saying that everything is the devil, but there is a spiritual component, right? That like between heaven and earth, that is always on the attack, right? Do you have
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, what I was going to say is that's why I started the book in the garden in Genesis, because that is where the battle begin. So this is not something new. There's nothing new under the sun. This battle has been playing out for the ages, and it's a spiritual battle that's happening in heaven, but we see the effects of it here on earth in the form of a person or a situation. And so that's why I started there and went straight to the armor of God. Because first of all, we have to realize that we are in a battle. I think I lived a lot of my Christian life, just sort of going through the motions and having all of these difficult things happen to me, and was not living an effective Christian life because I wasn't battle ready. I didn't have my warrior boots on. I wasn't, you know, slaying my sword. And so I wanted people to know that God didn't leave us here without a defense, right? He gave us his word, and that is what we can use to tear down every stronghold and everything that comes against us. But I think you're right. I think a lot of people see it as a person or a situation. And so then it just takes maturity to step back and say, I know what this is. I recognize what this is. So how can I overcome this situation? We overcome the evil that we see in the world today by doing good, with the fruits of the Spirit, by love, by patience, by gentleness, kindness, self-control. So when we want to respond in a situation, instead we take stock and say, is this a loving way to respond? And it's hard. It's not easy, but mm-hmm. It's what God's called us to do. And so there's a line in the Bible study that I just absolutely love. And it is surrender, pray, repeat. And as I was writing this, I had a friend who was reading through it, and she said, you need to put repeat, 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 because that's what our Christian walk is. It's a constant act of surrendering and praying and surrendering again. Absolutely. And knowing that God's will is not always our will, but his will is good.
You know, one of the things that I always tell the people that I minister to, and I know that you are the same way, is like, we don't have it all figured out. It's not like, you know, we got to a place where like we are like Paul, that we could be thrown into a jail and not flinch, right? It's not that. I mean, none of the people who are overcomers like you and I today, by grace, are like that because we're strong people. Much to the opposite. I think that God loves to use the weak things of the world to confuse the wise. So he takes people that have been broken by sin, by trial after trial. And that doesn't make us strong on our own. We're only stronger because God has helped us to take that step out of the tribulation and continue on with him. So anybody out there who thinks, oh, you know, you must have some secret sauce. We have the same secret sauce that you do, right? We have the same Holy Spirit, the same Bible, the same God. The thing that I believe, I don't know if you agree with me, but because I'm teaching a group of women right now, and what I see a lot is that there are two types of believers. There's one, there's a deliberate seeker of more time with God, of an intimate relationship with God. And then there's a believer who, no question, they're saved, but they almost want it to just happen to them, like that abundant life to come by osmosis, you know, just enter your pores and ta-da, I'm abundant now. It doesn't happen that way, right? You have to deliberately.
Those are the people going through the, those are the people going through the motions, right? Yes. I mean, they go to church. It's more of a religion than it is a relationship. And I think the people who are truly seeking the relationship are the ones who are growing in Christ. I'd have to definitely agree with you on that.
Yes. Well, the struggle is real, but so is God. No question about that. I know that, Misty, we could probably sit down. The two of us are talkers, so we could sit down for two more hours talking here, but our time is coming to an end. And I would love for you to share a little more of a, you know, just a, somebody out there who's struggling, you know, who's really struggling in life. Just share some last words of encouragement for them.
Absolutely. You know, I know a lot of people who are struggling right now. And if you are one of those people, first and foremost, I would say get flat on your face before your God and cry out to Him, because He loves you. He cares for you. Cast your burdens and cares on Him, and then get up, wipe your tears, wipe your face, and get in His Word and see what His Word has to say for you. Because like we've talked about through this podcast, it is His Word that will help us determine the truth from a lie. It is His Word that will tear down strongholds, and it's His Word that strengthens us and it empowers us. And today, more than ever, there's so many things happening in the world. There's so many difficult situations, just craziness. We're just living in crazy times. But God is with us in the midst of all of it. And He loves you and He wants good for you. So cry out to Him, get in His Word. That is the most important thing that I think we need now, is that intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, so that He can guide and direct us, and that we have His Word so that we can discern truth.
Amen. That's wonderful advice coming from someone who has gone through, and we just touched a little bit of what she's gone through in life. There's a lot more that this woman has been able to overcome by the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit's help. And it's a blessing to get to know you more and to talk to you, Misty. And I know many people will be encouraged by your message today, or conversation today. And guys, listen, the struggle is real, but so is God. It's a great book. You need to get it. If you're struggling, this is a wonderful way of just finding wisdom and be able to overcome with the Lord. So thank you so much for talking to me today, friend.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I could talk to you for hours.
Me too. Well, maybe we'll get together sometime in person soon. So God bless you, sister.
Thank you.
Hope you were blessed by my conversation with Misty Philip. Now, if you go to my show notes, you will find a link to The Struggle is Real on Amazon, as well as ways to connect with Misty Philip. And until we meet again, may God bless and strengthen you as you write your own God-sized story. Thanks for listening.